صرف تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لصاحب الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. We started the subject of Nubuwwat and Prophethood in Islam and discussed the evidences, those three evidences that why we stand in need of the Prophets of God. And after that, I started to mention those points of our entire belief about prophethood in the form of points so that we have a clear idea what exactly do we believe as our mainstream beliefs regarding prophethood. And now we move forward and discuss today that after knowing all that, after knowing that the humanity stands in need of the Prophet, stands in need of the Prophet, and after knowing that in Islam we are supposed to believe in all those things, we believe that it's incumbent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's obligatory for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send prophets for the guidance of humanity. The reason why it is incumbent and obligatory for Allah to send prophets for our guidance is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human beings for our own benefit. Since we have already learned in the lessons of Tawheed and the attributes of Allah that He does not stand in need of anything or anyone, all what He has done, the entire creation, the creation of the humankind, He is not going to benefit anything from all that. We, the humans, are going to benefit from our creation. When the benefit does not return back to Him, because He is not needy of any benefit, so the benefit actually belongs to us from our creation. And that benefit is to provide us perfection, eternal perfection, and to provide us an opportunity to become eternally perfect. Since Allah, out of creating the human beings, wants to provide benefit to the humankind, everything that is beneficial for the humans, it will be incumbent on Allah to provide. Whether that thing has benefit for our life in this world, or it has benefit for life in the hereafter, both would be incumbent for Allah to provide. And likewise, it will be incumbent and obligatory on Allah to inform us about all those things which are harmful for our life in this world and life in the hereafter. So that is why He is supposed to send us guides and representatives in the forms of prophets or their deputies and imams to guide us, so that we can be empowered to know what are those things that benefit us in both of these worlds, this world and the hereafter, and what are those things that harm us in this world and the hereafter. So this is a logical explanation why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must send the prophets for our guidance. The definition of a prophet, a Nabi, how it is technically defined, is هو الإنسان المخبر عن الله بلا واسطة إنسان. A prophet is the human which informs on behalf of Allah without the help of any human in the middle. I repeat the definition. النبي هو الإنسان المخبر عن الله بلا واسطة إنسان. A prophet is defined to be a human which informs us about certain news on behalf of Allah without bringing any human in the middle, without having any human as a means, as a middleman. And by virtue of this definition, we understand that angels cannot be included in this definition of a prophet. They cannot be classified as prophets because in the definition says an-nabiyyu huwa al-insan al-mukhbir anillah. So when we say an-nabiyyu huwa al-insan al-mukhbir, a prophet is a human that informs on behalf of Allah. So angels also inform us on behalf of, also inform on behalf of Allah. They don't inform us, they inform the prophets. So the angels also inform on behalf of Allah, but they themselves are not humans, so they are out of this definition. And likewise, the scholars, the mujtahideen, the maraji, the Islamic leader, the, you know, all the great Islamic personalities which are informing us and guiding us towards Allah, they are also out of this definition of the of a prophet, because the definition has clearly said huwa al-insan al-mukhbir an Allah bila wasitati insanin. A prophet is a human that informs us on behalf of Allah without bringing a human in the middle, without making human as a means in the middle. So whereas the scholars and the maraji and the leader and all these great personalities, they bring the prophet or one of the imams, one of the deputies of the prophet in the middle. So they are informing us on behalf of Allah, yes, they are humans, yes, but they are bringing someone in the middle. Someone is in the middle between them and Allah, and that someone is either the deputy of the prophet, which is an imam, or the prophet. So that's why the scholars are also out of this definition and cannot be counted as a prophet. And now that having known the definition of the prophet, we must now understand how to recognize a prophet. Because there may be people who can come forward and make a claim that we are the prophet of Allah and we are informing you on behalf of Allah and we are being sent down by God for the guidance of humanity, although they have their own agenda. They may have their own agendas. How can we differentiate between the false claimers of prophethood and the true prophets? We have two ways in Islam to prove the prophethood of any prophet. And those two ways with which we can recognize whether this claimant of prophethood is a false claimant or a true prophet, we have to turn to these two ways. The first being mu'jiza, that is a miracle, and the second being makarimul akhlaq wal qiyamul ilahiyya. That means the high exalted moralities and the divine values. the height and the exalted values are one of the signs with which, and likewise the divine values of high level are one of the signs with which we can recognize that a person is the prophet of God, and likewise the miracle. So these are the two basic and very clear signs with which we can recognize a prophet. Makarim al-Akhlaq, the exalted and high miracle, we will come to the miracle as well, and what we mean with the Makarim al-Akhlaq and the high and exalted character and moralities, and divine attributes, high divine attributes and values found in the Prophet. What we mean by this is all the great spiritual attributes, which are actually found in our soul as an inner charisma, and also we have to look at the society in which any prophet was raised, the society in which to which he was sent, the means that he adopted for propagation, the contents of his propagation, the levels of his effectiveness in the society, and likewise the sacrifices that his followers had made. And likewise, uncompromising, unbending behavior that he had towards the opponents and the enemies of Allah, and his moralities towards his towards the people, his behavior towards the people, his behavior towards the misguided, and those who were derailed from the path. How fast did his teachings were in terms of impacting on the people and his nation, and his followers belong to which class of the society, what kind of people, what sort of people were they? So all these and other factors are instrumental for us to determine the Makarim al-Akhlaq, the high level moralities and exalted character, and the divine high level values found in a prophet. All these factors are going to help us to determine the Makarim al-Akhlaq and the values found in the prophet. So these are the two ways how we can determine, these are two major ways how we can determine a prophet to be a prophet. And the definition of a miracle, we will we'll come to the definition of a miracle, which is the first means of recognizing the claim of a prophet, and it's the right of every person to demand from a prophet to show a miracle so that his claim can be proved, and so that he can prove to be a prophet of God, and he can invite the people towards God. A miracle in ilm al-kalam, in the knowledge of Islamic beliefs, is defined as amrun khaliqul ada mutabiqun lid-da'wa. A miracle is something which is above the normal routine and in accordance with the claim, an action which is above the normal and regular routine of the people, which they are unable to perform, something which is above their regular routine and their reach, which they are unable to perform, And it is in accordance with the claim that the person who is the prophet, that the person is claiming. It's in accordance with his claim. That is the definition of the miracle. In the light of this definition, we understand that miracle is something which is which has a cause. It's not without a cause. It has an illat and sabab and cause behind it. So it's not something which is done without a cause. Second of all, it is something which is khariqul ada, means above the routine of the regular people, of the people, above the routine and the regular practice and the routine of the people. So it's something which is beyond their reach, something which the regular people or any human cannot perform. No matter how much they may try, they can never perform such a thing. So it's above their reach, above their routine, above their practice. This statement translates into the fact that a miracle is not against the intellect. Not against the intellect, that means a miracle is not something which is unreasonable, unintellectual, illogical. So we cannot expect a prophet to perform illogical acts, because something which is illogical doesn't have a reason, whereas miracles have causes, they have reasons. And they are logical things. They are things which are compatible with, they do not contradict with the human intellect. So when they do not contradict with the human intellect, it's something which is logical. So we cannot compare a miracle, we cannot expect from a miracle to be doing things which are contrary to the human intellect and logic. Because that thing, if supposed, cannot have a cause. Like, nobody can expect from a prophet to convert, like, 2 + 2 = 4, and that's logic. We cannot expect from a prophet to come up and we demand from him, please convert 2 + 2 = 5. That is illogical. That doesn't have any cause. When there is no cause, there will be no effect. It's against the human intellect to accept that 2 + 2 can be 5. So this is not what a miracle stands for. This is not what someone can expect from a prophet to do in order to prove his prophethood, to perform any illogical, unintellectual things which are contradictory to the human intellect. Everything that a prophet may perform as a miracle, that thing does not contradict the human intellect. That, yes, there are things which usually we are unable to perform. Usually, any human is unable to perform because that's beyond our practice, beyond our reach, and beyond our routine. But that is not against the logic. It's beyond our reach, beyond our qudrat and power to do so. But since the prophet, every prophet is connected, is linked with the limitless qudrat and power of Allah, so he is entitled to do things which no human can perform. And also, when we understand this definition of a miracle, we should also remember, like we said at the end of the definition, that miracle is always mutabiqun lid-da'wah. It's in accordance with the claim of the prophet. The prophet should be confident. A person who is claiming to be the prophet should be confident enough to make a claim and invite the people towards him, because he is empowered to show a miracle any time. So he has nothing to be afraid of. And not like this, that you know, there are some people who show certain extraordinary things in the society, and some people who perform certain kinds of exercises, certain kinds of practices in monasteries, in the worship places and other places, and they are now empowered to do certain things because of the lot of practices that they have done, and you know, their body can endure to do things which the regular people in the society cannot perform. That is not, that cannot not be compared to a miracle, because that is something which is within the reach of every human being in the society to perform. Virtually everybody can achieve the same what this guy has achieved through performing certain things due to his practices and extensive exercises, and extensive practices, you know, to attain certain certain things. But this is something which is within the reach of the human being. We are talking about things performed in the miracle which are not in the reach of any human being. So that's why the prophet is confident. That's why every prophet is confident to invite the people towards Allah. And he's, and as soon as any person can ask him, any disbeliever can ask him to show a miracle to prove his claim, he's confident, he's ready to show, and he can show it any time without any hesitance. And also we learn in the light of the last segment of the definition that أَمْرٌ خَارِقٌ لِلْعَادَ مُطَابِقٌ لِلْدَعْوَى. Miracle is something which is in accordance with the claim. It's something which is above and beyond the practice and the reach and the routine of the people. Of course, not against the intellect, which I already explained. Of course, not without a reason and cause, which we already discussed. But also, mutabiqun lid-da'wah, it's according to the claim that that person who is the prophet or of imam, the deputy of the prophet, is claiming. The miracle that he shows has to be in accordance with what he is claiming. And so what he's claiming is that he's claiming to be a prophet or the deputy of the prophet, which we call imam. An imam is claiming to be an imam. So which of course we will discuss in the concept of imamat about the imams. So since right now we are talking about the nubuwwat and prophethood only, so a prophet is claiming to be a prophet, and that's his claim, that he, I am an informant to guide you on behalf of Allah, and I am his representative. So when he's making a claim of being a prophet, he should show the miracle that he that is in accordance with his claim, that can prove his claim to be a prophet in front of those people, that nation to which he is sent to guide. And that is one of the things that we should take a notice, that every prophet had been sent to different nation, and the number of people to which he was sent differs from prophet to prophet. According to the level of the prophet, he was sent to nations of larger or smaller people, and even you know, and the miracles that they showed to their nations were also in accordance with the level of with the situations of those times, with the need, in accordance with the needs of those times, in accordance with the demands of those times. So that people of those times who are acquainted with those things are will find themselves helpless before this miracle, because this is something which is in accordance to with their situation. We find if Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, is sent to his nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for an example, gave him the miracle of curing the sick and making the dead people alive with the permission of Allah, bi-iznillah. So Prophet Isa used to rub his hand and make the sick people, the lepers who were suffering from leprosy, for example, the cureless diseases in those days. He used to rub his hand and give them cure with the permission of Allah. That was the power of miracle given to Prophet Isa. And this miracle awarded to him was in accordance with the needs of the time. Because in the time of Prophet Isa, medicine was something which was widely available. There were a lot of good physicians. The knowledge of medicine was something which is to its peak, we can say, as compared to the previous human beings and previous nations, the knowledge of medicine was at its peak. And so Allah awarded his prophet something which overwhelms the available knowledge of medicine, so that the people find themselves helpless and powerless and unable to perform what this prophet has performed, and so they should be ready to accept his message and accept God to be our Lord. The question that I would like to pose to make this point understood to all of you is that curing a person with leprosy, is it something illogical? Of course not. It's not illogical. Just because the people of the nation of Prophet Isa in those days were unable to find a cure for leprosy, it's out of their reach. It's not something which is contradictory to the human intellect. It's not something which is illogical. So let's put the same example into the definition that we discussed. Curing a leper suffering from leprosy is not something which is contradictory to human intellect. It's not something which is illogical. It is something which is out of the reach of any human available in that time. In that situation, it is something which overwhelms the existing available knowledge, and it has a cause. It's not something which is without a cause, and the cause, of course, is the power of Allah. The cause, of course, is the miracle that Prophet Isa is showing with the izn and permission of Allah. So it's actually with the power of God that he is showing this miracle. And likewise giving life again to a dead person with the permission of Allah, that was one of the miracles given to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So Prophet Isa, when he used to give life to the dead people, he was used to give life with the power of God and with the permission of God. Is it illogical for the soul, after it has come out from the body, to return back to the soul? Of course it's not illogical. It's not against the human intellect. It's against the practice. It never happens that the soul, after departing the body, returns back to the body. No one comes back to this life again. So it's not contradictory to human intellect. It's against the practice. It's beyond our reach, beyond the reach of any human to do so. So what the miracle that a prophet performs is, it overwhelms the routine, the practice, the reach of the people. It's not against the human intellect. It's not against the aql and reasoning and intellect. And it is based on a cause. And primarily the cause is the power of Allah, which is limitless. And if the human being can go to the moon, because the human being have rockets and space shuttles, So we are relying to achieve this goal, we are relying on rockets and space shuttles. That does not mean that if there's a person who has a power which is superior to our knowledge, power which is superior to what we have in our control, can reach the moon without standing in need of a rocket, without standing in need of a space shuttle, because he is relying on power which is way superior and incomparable to the power of anyone. And when this kind of superior power, which is more above and beyond the power of a human, if this kind of power is found in a human being, which it's not found in any other human being in the society to which the Prophet is sent, we will be forced to understand that this person is, out of this miracle, this person is a representative of God doing things which are beyond our reach. And not just doing those things once or twice, he can do those things as many times as he wishes, if demanded. There's a big difference between mu'jiza and extraordinary things that certain people, like I said earlier, certain people perform in different monasteries and worship places and other places, like people perform things which are extraordinary that the regular people do not perform. There is a big difference between miracle and these kinds of extraordinary practices. So-called open-minded people of the society have fallen prey of this false propaganda and have been mixing the miracles of the prophets with these practices of some people in the society. And likewise, there are certain ignorant people also available in different societies who are trying to create miracles out of regular things. Every small extraordinary thing that may appear to be extraordinary to them and their eyes, they start calling them to be a miracle. This is also unacceptable, that we call every extraordinary thing, irregular or non-ordinary thing to be a miracle, because it has to fit in the definition of a miracle to be called a miracle. Not everything can be classified as a miracle. And actually a lot of oppressors have been trying throughout the history, and even today they have been trying to fabricate things, to make up things, to deviate the believers away from the path of all the prophets by creating false propaganda, spreading false information, and disseminating their evil ideas, disseminating their own ideas to create divisions, suspicion, and doubts in the minds of the believers. Because if you can't convince him, confuse him, like they say. If you cannot convince a person, at least the minimum you can do is to confuse him. So once he's confused, he will give up his faith. And when he doesn't have certitude about his faith, it will then become easier to derail him from the track. So that has been done consistently by different oppressors throughout the history, and even it's true today, it is being done in different forms in different countries and societies. We must remember two fundamental points so that we can never be misguided about these extra ordinary things performed by certain human beings, and the miracles. We never are misguided between these two things. We are always eligible to, we are always capable to distinguish between a miracle and certain extraordinary things done by some human beings. These two points are important to remember. A person who is, by his practice, by his extraordinary exercises, attained certain things and is now eligible to do certain things, like there are people in different monasteries like who look at the sun for long times, several minutes or several hours, looking straight towards the sun for several minutes or several hours is not considered to be a miracle. It's an extraordinary thing that certain people perform because of their practices and extensive exercises, which every person can achieve. Yeah, the two important points which I was mentioning to you is that the point number one to remember is that these kind of people can only perform limited things. They cannot perform a variety of things. If you ask them to do something else, they will be unable to do. They can only do that one kind of thing which they have practiced, or that those two things that they have practiced only. Nothing more than that. Whereas the Prophet of God is not like this and is never like this. Let's remember the definition which I told you. Prophet is doing a miracle, is something which is far, which is extra, which is above and beyond the reach of the people. Why it is above and beyond the reach of the people? Because it is something which is, because Prophet is doing it out of a cause. It's not without a cause. It's not without an illat and sabab. It has an illat. It has a cause. And that cause is the power and qudrat of Allah. So when we say that a Prophet is linked with the power, with the limitless power of Allah, can we restrict the power of God? He is empowered to do anything, anytime. Anything which is possible, God can do it anytime. So, because His power is limited. So that is the first point that needs to be remembered, that these kind of people can do only one or two or only a few things which they have practiced, and they cannot do the third thing or the fourth thing that you may demand them to do. So that again proves, because they have practiced those few things only, and that's out of their practice that they are doing. And anybody can come and practice the same in the same way that they have done and also attain the same things. Whereas no human being on earth can claim, I can practice to bring the soul of a human back into the body, and so I can make a dead person alive like Prophet Jesus used to do with the power of God, with the izn and permission of Allah. No human can say that I can attain this power out of practice. No matter you spend your whole life trying to do so, you can never do so. The second point that we should remember about this matter is that these people who perform certain extraordinary things in the society out of their practices and extensive exercises that they do, one of these persons cannot perform what the other is doing. One of these persons can perform what the other is doing. That's what I meant. I'm sorry, I said it wrongly. One of these people can perform what the other is doing. Because Because it is basically based on the practice and extensive exercises and different kinds of different kinds of abstinence from different things for a certain period of times. So like breathing exercises, they can control their breath for a long time. They can stand on 1 foot for a long, long period of time, and so on and so forth. So these kinds of practices, if one can claim that there may be another person found in the society who can also claim the same thing. So, and the other person can also do what this person is doing. So, so that's why this person is not eligible to make a, to challenge of any of person in the society that you are not able to do, because there are people found in the society who are ready, who are eligible to do the same what he is doing. Whereas when it comes to the Prophet, no one in the whole society can come forward and do a miracle which is performed by that Prophet, unless if there is another Prophet available or a deputy of the Prophet available, an Imam available in the same society, and he performs the same miracle. Otherwise, no one in the whole society to which the Prophet has been sent will be available who can duplicate the same action which is performed by the Prophet sent to that nation. So this is what has to be remembered, that first of all, there are very limited actions done by these people. If you ask them to do something else, like for example, a person who can stand on his 1 foot for 20 hours, if you ask him to stand on his hand, one hand for 20 hours, he cannot stand on his one hand because he did not practice to stand on one of his hands. He only practiced on one of his feet. So if you demand anything else, they would be unable to do. Second of all, they cannot challenge the people available because there may be other people in the society who have practiced the same things, and so they are able to do the same thing the way this guy is doing. So they are not eligible to challenge the society. Whereas, because this thing can be found, performed by others. Whereas when it comes to the prophets, they can perform other things because their power is linked with the power of Allah. And power of God is limitless, so other things can also be performed apart from what the Prophet is showing as a miracle. Other things, if demanded, can also be performed by the Prophet. And second of all, Prophet can challenge the whole society with confidence, whereas these people cannot challenge because there may be people available in the society who can duplicate and do the same thing what they are doing, because there may be people who can also practice, who have practiced in the same way the way they have practiced. In the next lesson, inshallah, we will be talking about why the Prophet has to be ma'soom and infallible. We have two evidences to prove that every Prophet must be infallible, not just after his bi'sat, after Allah commanded him to propagate the religion, Islam, but even before Allah commands the Prophet to announce and start propagation, before bi'sat, every Prophet is also a ma'soom. So there are two reasons why we believe that every Prophet has to be ma'soom and infallible. And that we are going to discuss in the next lesson, inshallah. And if you have any questions, you are free to ask now. Thank you very much. Yeah, the question which has been asked here is about the al-walayat al-takwiniyya. Al-walayat al-takwiniyya is Al-Walaya in Arabic means governance and rule. Takween is taken from the root word of kaun, Kaun in Arabic means wujud and existence. Takween, that means the whole world of existence, the whole universe. Walayat al-Takweeniyya means the power to do things in the whole universe. And this power to do things in the whole universe is of course the same power of the miracle. But since the power to do things in the whole universe depends on the ilm, depends, we will learn it inshallah in the next lesson, hopefully, when we talk about the fact that prophets are ma'soom and why they are infallible. We will learn the point that the concept of infallibility is directly related to the ilm and knowledge of the Prophet. So the power of doing things, al-walayat al-takweeniyya, the power of doing things in the universe is related to the ilm of the Prophet. And the ilm of and the knowledge of the Prophet is directly related to the level of his taharat and cleanliness and purity of the soul. So since there are differences in the levels of the Prophets in terms of the purity of the soul, all of them are infallible, but there are still levels in infallibility and ismat. Since there are levels of purity and infallibility, so likewise there are levels of ilm and knowledge, so likewise there are levels in walayat al-takweeniyya. But yes, the answer to your question is that walayat al-takweeniyya is the reason, because the prophets have the walayat and governance, that's why they perform the miracle. It's because of their walayat and governance over the existences around them, depending on the level of their knowledge and purity, what is the reach of their walayat, how far they can reach, are they allowed by Allah because of their knowledge and because of the level of their knowledge and level of their purity, they're allowed to have governance over some of the existences or more of the existences or more of the existences or all of the existences. It depends on their level of knowledge and level of purity. But yes, the answer is that that walayat al-takweeniyya is because of the walayat and governance right that their soul has over the existences that they do certain things or more of the miracles.
If you would like to participate in these online lecture series, please visit www.al-asr.org. The website once again is